During the summer, when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with friends or alone on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected so you can enjoy all the summertime vibes. Whether you're sharing pics from a rooftop, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show episode after episode. So stay connected to your favorite people and your favorite things with AT&T 5G and home internet. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
If you're looking for the most epic place on Earth,
let's start at the base of a massive waterfall.
Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR positive HER2 negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
R&B money. We up. Tank Valentine. We are the authorities on all things R&B.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am Tank.
I'm Jay Valentine.
And this is the R&B Money Podcast.
Yes, it is.
The authority.
The one and only.
On all things R&B. As I go into my preacher cadence, I'm reminded of a time being a youngster desiring to sing, desiring to have the mechanics to be dazzling amongst the people. And there was a man I studied. Come on now. It's the man I watched.
My.
There were ingredients that I've stolen from this man that I am not going to give him back. I have taken these ingredients and I've gone on to forge a career of my own. Ladies and gentlemen, one of my heroes in the building, man. That's the best I can say. Get up a Stokely.
Top of the top.
Top of the top.
You want to sing?
You want to sing?
Have you heard real singing?
Bro, let me tell you something, man. I mean, going back to like being in the Fine Arts Building in Howard University,
You know what I mean? And like,
Howard, all right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was a baby. Know? Like,
all right.
He didn't go there though.
I didn't go there. I would skip school. I would skip school and come up to Howard.
Okay, all right.
And see guys with see two drum sets going back and forth in the rooms in the basement.
Right.
The people at the piano going crazy and all, like, it like started there. You know what I mean? And then, bro, you came out singing like I had never heard before. And it had a texture where it was like Stevie reminiscent, but it was completely something new. And I was 100% enamored with it.
Wow.
Every day.
Wow.
To church, drop my mom off.
That's crazy.
Pick up my sister. Drop my cousin off at Bowie State. Every day. Wow, every man. Day.
Wow.
And people are like, how do you sing like that? I wouldn't tell everybody for a long time. Like, where'd you get that from? Well, yeah, no guy. Right? I wouldn't tell everybody for a long time.
Take it back to the church people.
And take it back to the church.
Yeah, it's funny.
And they're like, where did you get? Because they, of course, they knew of John. You know what I'm saying? They knew I love John. They knew of Fred. They knew I love Fred. Yeah. They knew Mitchell Jones. They knew I love Mitchell Jones. They didn't know about that Stokely.
Wow. To be mentioned with them, first of all, it's crazy.
Oh yeah, no, you're in a heavy room.
And that's you know, very heavy. Fred and all, you know, come on.
Heavy room.
Come on.
What we like to do, right? Yeah. I hate it. I just wanted to start off there and just give you just a perspective on just what you mean to me, because it's very real and it's a very big deal. You know what thank I mean? You, so I want to say thank you. I think every time I see you, I tell you this, but thank I'm not going to stop telling you. You know, every time I see you,
God
you know
what
I'm
saying?
Like,
you,
man, your vocal. You know, I'm going to say you every time because I just think that even for our platform and creating this, you know what I mean? We want to make sure, I said something earlier, that the guys who are well-studied, the women who did this that way, like, we couldn't skip no steps.
No.
Not a one. Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure you guys recorded on 2-inch.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You were a 2-inch
guy. That's
right.
That's
and then right. finally yeah, the
you
task
gotta, you
came.
You got to go cut the tape.
Finally the ADAT came.
Oh, yeah. Right. I used to actually cut tape at it. Yeah, that's right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Wasn't one button.
No.
It was the real,
It wasn't the B section sound good. We might as well fly the B section.
That's right.
Are you sure?
We're going to lunch.
You got to commit.
We're going to lunch.
It's a commitment. Ain't no
you got to take a lunch.
That's right.
You got to take a lunch to fly backgrounds.
That's right.
And you could run out of tracks.
That's right. Right? You can run out.
You could run out. So you have to be amazing. Right in here.
It's like your planning's got to be on point, you know.
Way before pitch correction. I'm gonna let you talk, but I'm still celebrating you right now. Way before pitch correction. Auto-tune and what's the other one?
Melodyne.
Right.
You just got to do it 10 more times.
Hey. Which is a little bit of extra rehearsal. There you go, a little practice.
And then there's that.
He came from the era of 8 to 10 hour rehearsals.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he grew up.
Not by choice.
Not
by choice, man.
Yeah. But it made you the man.
Man. Thanks, Dad.
Thanks. The school of Michael Jackson.
But it worked.
I've survived.
Absolutely.
You know? I've survived.
No, you've thrived, brother. And those are the things, those are the differences that are, sometimes it's hard to articulate the why, but you know, when the rubber meets the road, those instincts of what you've learned and what you've really had to, where you've really been battle tested, that's where that just kicks in. And you float.
That's right.
All right, Stoke, this is about you.
this is about us.
First of all,
standing ovation. I'm standing up right now. Jay Valentine, Tank, thank you for doing this.
Yes, sir.
People got to know This is an amazing. I watch your show. It's a cross section of people, old and it's like you are bringing it all together, man. We need this forum. We need this kind of platform.
Yeah.
To tell the stories, to share, you know, to pass on, you know, because this is, you know, the younger generation. It's a different. They're great. Everybody's great, but there's some information that's missing.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a bridge.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, man.
Yes, sir.
That's why we're here.
That's why we're here.
Absolutely.
Here to serve.
Yeah.
Stokely, we are historical pod. Mm-hmm. Historical.
All right.
We don't get into the archives of Stokely, like the beginning.
Yeah.
When was it identified?
That place.
Minnesota.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
St. Paul.
Minnesota, boy.
It's cold. You thought it's cold in the deep.
But it's some cold things, too. Yeah. Minnesota, baby.
Hey, listen.
Minnesota.
Shout out to Brother Wendell Muhammad, who's passed on. We were riding through Minneapolis one day, and it was below zero. And I don't know how this is going to come off, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Oh, man.
But we were riding through Minneapolis, and there were ladies of the night on the street corner.
Wow.
At Four Below, walking the walk and talking the talk.
Getting it in.
And Brother Wendell Muhammad says, a woman with that kind of dedication could run this country.
That
type of dedication?
Yeah, it's a different kind of code.
Oh, yeah, it's a different type of code.
It's a different kind of Arctic wind going on.
We were
on.
Counting before we got out of the car. Like, okay, on three, we're going to get out.
And just,
tell them open the door. Tell them open.
That is so real. That is so real right there.
Yeah, take us back, man. Take us back
to where you first found it or it first found you.
Oh, man. It was one of those things. My parents, 70s, both my parents are educators. So we talk about history. My dad's, his history teacher. Anything to do with black folk, you know, loving on black folks, whether it be sports, politics, you know, entertainment, et cetera. And my mother, English, all that stuff. So I grew up a little bit different. So I had, my father had all these people around him. And when I was like 3 or 4, they would go back. They started going to Ghana, going to Africa back and forth. So they'd bring all these things back and they trade clothes, and then, you know, continental Africans would give them, you know, stuff back. And father had some bongos on the wall. I was about 3 and don't know how I got up and got them off the wall, whatever. It's still a mystery to me. I don't know. Somehow I got up there, started playing, they're asleep. And as my father tells me, because I don't really remember it, he said, it sounded like somebody knew what they were doing. They're playing actual patterns. And he was like, what is that noise? They're both asleep. You hear that? He was like, I don't hear anything. My mom was like, I don't hear nothing. And they got up. He was like, wow, this dude is in here playing. So he had a friend who had this African dance troupe, Abadenge, his brother from Panama. And he said, I don't know him. It's that. I don't know if this is good or not. You let me know. He said, oh, yeah, dude, he's good. I'll take him with me. So
at 3?
At about 3. So it actually, no, it was about, I was about, I was 4. I was 4, actually. It was 4. So because there's a whole thing in the paper, local paper at home. My first gig was First Bank of Minneapolis, standing on the steel, you know, folding chair playing congas with this African dance troupe. And that was the beginning of it all for me. My little daishiki, my little afro.
He's all the way in. My brother.
I was in it. I was in it, yeah. So from there, man, that was just kind of my thing. And at that time, too, there was a lot of groups like that. You know, I ended up playing for a lot of poets, things like that. So that was like a thing. You go in the park, you see brothers playing congas in the park, and, you know, that kind of
thing. So if they had like a little baby in Love Jones.
That
would be you.
That's pretty much, man. Revolutionary child, you know.
So, let me interrupt real quick. So you say congas.
It's really congas. But brothers in the hood, you say congas. It's really congas.
Okay, you know what I mean? So I'm from D.C.
Yeah.
We say congos.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah, y'all say Congo's,
We say Congo's in the Bay, too, though.
You say Congo's in the Bay?
So as he's saying it, I'm like, I know what he's talking about.
Right. Yeah, we said kind of.
But I'm looking at the spelling in my head. I'm like, I don't spell that word, but I'm looking at the spelling in my head. I'm like, it is Congress too.
Yeah, yeah. Congress. And it's like Congress and bongos infused. So it's like Congos.
Yeah.
Bongos.
It's just the hood,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. So we was like, out of DC, like, Go-Go Mickey on the Congos, he killing
me. Yeah.
Like, that was our, we had our little tribal thing. Yeah, our tribal movement. So, yeah.
We was like, Kungas. Like, where is Kungas. A U? Ain't no U in it, so yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, but that was the beginning. So I had, you know, with that Abedengue group later on, there was another group I played with, instrumental in my development, Black Arts Midwest. In this place, there was a space where they would have all these kids come in the neighborhood, and it's a place called Inner City Youth League. So they had a studio in there. They had where they teach like art class. I was involved in that, martial arts, everything. They had people speaking, just teaching all kind of classes there. So it was a place for young kids to go and just kind of get right, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, there's another group, Uchawi Dancers. We played at the Renaissance Festival a lot, you know. So I pretty much, that was all those, I call them Africanisms, was instilled in me very young. You know,
and the percussion side is really developed.
Yeah,
at this time too for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was instilled in me very young, and I was, you know, I was halfway homeschooled and didn't know it.
Were you being paid too?
Hmm.
Did you make some money too? Get a couple dollars?
Oh yeah, a little bit. I want to know
what money.
Look at that, $25. Oh, I'm killing them right now.
My pops, my first, it was, remember, it was $12.75. Remember that check? I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, woo, I'm getting a whole bunch of candy. I was like, I'm gonna open up an account. I was like, what? Account? I was like, you know how much candy I can get with that?
How much candy?
Yeah,
because I didn't get paid for none of my street performing, but you get it. Whatever.
$12.75.
But they said, Fisherman's Wharf owes me nothing.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, man.
So you're playing congas.
Oh, yeah.
Congas.
all three of them.
You play all three of those until about what age?
So that started at 4, and then I was, let's see, 10, 11, 12.
Are you putting in years?
Yeah, so that's when I was, you know, being a kid, playing sports and all this stuff in between, of course. And at the same time, there's so many things happening at the same time. You know how you go through life and you go through phases when you're a kid, and you go through sports and football and basketball and track and all that. And so at the same time, I'm listening all these records. You know, my dad, I'd hear, you know, Malcolm X, and I'd hear Aretha Franklin, and I'd hear Ella Fitzgerald, Sarah Vaughan, all these different things, you know, just all the branches, the tree of black music, you know, all these genres that we've created. And I'm like, wow, it's in you.
Mm-hmm.
You hear music, and I didn't know that how it's affecting me. My my aunt was the musical director at a church, so I never sang in church. I played.
Hmm.
But so, I mean, I was, you know, my ear was pretty good even back then. I was like, man, that spirit just never left. And you know how that is. It just gets in you, and that whole spirit of it. So all that.
So did anyone know you could sing?
No.
Until.
No, so the singing came. So the singing, I was a mimicker. As far as the cat who did it for me was Al Green, vocally. Mm-hmm. That was.
Yeah.
He's like 20 different people in one side, one body. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He's just the cat. So I was always mimicking and, you know, that kind of thing. So, but it wasn't until I got to high school. And we were talking about your friend who went to high school in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was, we went to Central. So, and Central had, it was called, something called the Magnet Arts Program. So I would liken it to like the LaGuardia Performing Arts.
Gotcha, yeah.
You know, so it had a little bit of everything in there. Mm-hmm. Had a studio in there, had a steel drum orchestra, which that guy ended up being a great mentor to me, rest in peace, Cliff Alexis Sr. And those things really helped shape me. And so what I did, I took, there were two classes you could take for the studio session. One was more engineering, and the other class was, they put you with different people, played different genres. So the R&B dudes would be, you know, it's like, we put you with the rock dude just so you can kind of expand your mind a little bit. So it was like, I didn't want to play a slap. I want to learn how to actually push buttons on the knobs on the engineering side so then I can record my own stuff.
Yeah.
And my, you know, the biggest dream was like, you know, I just want a four track, a keyboard, and a little drum machine. That was just, that was the dream. You know what I mean? And so a little Tascam 688 got in there and started making, just making beats, making stuff. And it was just like, and to be honest with you, stacking vocals and that kind of, that's really what helped me sing. I felt
you
like
that in high school.
In high school, yes. Okay. That's, I felt like I met myself for the first time hearing that. I was like, oh, wow, that's me. So I could just stack it. It's just, okay, wow. So not just the singing, but learning the process of creating, just all the frequencies, all the things you can do, you know, bouncing. You know, you got four tracks, you do three tracks, bounce was three to the four, and then do some, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's really that process helped shape me. You know what I mean? And then, you know, I had all these instruments around and not a, you know, more of an ear player. If I can, you know, pick stuff up on keys or guitar, bass, any of that kind of stuff. But that's really the thing that really helped shape me with the records. And then, so it's, it was an amazing time, you know? And then, like I said, my mentor, what little bit of theory that I have, Cliff Alexis, I learned off of Steel Pan, you know? And that was just, that instrument, it just blew my mind. I was like, wow. So you just took like a 55-gallon oil drum, cut it in different shapes and size, and you're going to make a cello voice, you're going to make a guitar voice. Like, yeah. I mean, I was gone.
As you're talking, I'm like hearing all of the influences. I'm hearing all of it.
Yeah.
Through the instrument.
Through all the things, all the instruments and all the places he's been. I'm hearing the songs. I'm hearing the interludes. I'm hearing all of them. Like, because a lot of it was going to be why.
I see.
You get it.
Okay. Okay.
You get it.
Yeah. I get it.
It was all that stuff. And it's, you know, it just, and it, that continues. And like, man, I'm still discovering all that. You know, the older you get, you're like, oh, that's what that was.
You know, how many instruments are you into at this point while you're in high school?
I mean, basically, it was, of course, all the percussion stuff. I started, I had some piano instruction, you know, off and on. But that was basically the guitar and stuff, and that came later, just from dinking around in the basement. You know, every band that I played in, I was pretty much the youngest guy a lot of most of the bands.
You always played drums?
Always played drums. But all the, every band I played with, most of the bands would rehearse in my parents' basement. So all the instruments were left on her, you know. So I'm like, what was that he was playing earlier? What, you know, what was that? What, you know, I would just get on the next thing, and then the next thing you know, I was, you know, I started picking up different phrases and, you know, just started expanding my vocabulary.
So your parents opened up your home to it too.
I don't know how they did that, because it was loud and some of it was wrong.
right. I mean, it starts there.
Yes, I remember my dad told me one time, he was like, yeah, what was that song? He was like, oh, ugly music.
During the summertime, when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with friends and family or on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected, whether you're at home or on the go, so you can stay connected to your loved ones and your favorite things. Whether you're sharing pics from the best rooftops, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show, episode after episode after episode. So, connect at home or on the move with AT&T 5G and home internet, and create memories and more all summer long. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo! Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again.
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five.
High Five.
Casino.
Casino.
Win at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those, too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
So I have to switch to the beginnings of infancy stage of men.
Okay.
So this is after high school, trying to figure out what the hell we're going to do. I went to Northern Illinois University just to see if I wanted to go, because Cliff Alexis, my mentor, was going to teach there. And I was like, oh, okay. Maybe not. I'm going to take 1 year and you know, see what I can do. So I was working and that kind of thing. So in between that, We put together our thing, and I wasn't singing. I was playing drums. There was this other guy who was paying for the space, the rehearsal space that we had, and he was singing. He wasn't a singer, you know, but he just, you know, the whole Prince thing was going on, and he had this long weave. Nothing, the rest of it was just afro, and that's like all of a sudden just weaves. Anyway, another story. And he
was Breed.
He was breed. I heard the face. Yeah. He was breeding all
first
the way.
Thing I was thinking too. Yeah. Kind of sound Breed, but it sound a little wild.
You ain't Breed, no. Yeah. He was breed all the way. And but he wasn't, you know, he could scream like Prince and all that thing, but something, it was some point where it's like, you know what? You guys got it. I'll just keep paying for the space, and you know, y'all just keep, you know, just come back and get me when you, you know, when y'all make it, that kind of thing. So.
Oh, that's what he said.
Yeah, that's what he said. And.
It wasn't worth his time.
I guess, I don't know. And I'm like, well, who's going to sing? We need it, singing, that kind of thing. And, you know, I said, well, I'll do it. You know, act the fool, it's pretty athletic, that kind of thing. And that's where it started. And that was like 1900. And I got to put the 100 on it. It's back in the 1900s.
Back in the 1900s, man.
1986, you know. So that was the beginning of it.
That was the beginning of you singing lead.
That was the beginning of it, of singing lead. That was the first time I had.
So were you singing from the drums?
No, I went up and left the drums. We got another drummer from high school. His name was Kenny Young. And he was the drummer. I went up front. And we just started putting it together, man.
I know how drummers are. Were you better than him?
I was nice then. We was coming up together at that time.
There are tales of your nice.
But I had a few different gears just because I wasn't like every other drummer, just starting from percussion in the background that I had.
Yeah.
They would always like, where are you pulling that from?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's like, I could name some of the rhythms that they're, and it's just, and everybody just plays it, but I'm like, I know what that is, man. That's Manjani. That's okay, whatever that, you know. Like, what was that? So I had a different. It was just different.
Yeah,
you know? Better. I don't know. That's for somebody else to say. I don't know. It was,
but it was working. He was doing what he was supposed to do.
Yeah, he got the job done, and so I went up front, And at that time, you know, it was very, you know, the whole Prince thing was going on, you know, the whole Minneapolis thing. It was very competitive. So what you see, like Purple Rain, also, that was actually happening.
That's real.
It's a real thing. You know, you better kick down this, you know, and kick your ass down. You know, you better sound good. So everything was like, you had to play and you had to step, you call it stepping. Are they stepping? You know what I mean? Like a little choreography with it. So it's like all three things. It's like there's no, wasn't a keyboard player.
It's
like
full performance.
Full performance. Yeah. It was a show. And that's where we learned how to put on a full, it's like you, the artistic thing came together. Because it was always like that age-old argument, are you going to be an artist or an entertainer?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I...
There's a difference.
Yeah, there's a difference. But I think, I was always definitely into the art of it. It was like, why can't you kind of, why are you putting that together? You know, that's from showmanship too, to keep people's attention, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where all that came from. And in Minnesota, it seemed like a lot of the audience, we never thought we were, it's like, man, we're not doing enough. Because the response there, I think it was just, it would go over people's heads. We play all this music and shit, and it was just like, are we not doing enough? So, okay, maybe we need to do something visually, mm-hmm. you know, to get some kind of feedback. And we didn't realize that we were doing more than enough until we got outside of the, you know, went to going to New York and Chicago, like, oh, this is great, you know. So, oh, okay, so we got it. This actually means something, what we're putting together.
Yeah.
But it actually really worked. I'm really thankful that they didn't give that immediate love back to us because it helped put together the show. It helped put, you know, just like develop in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And yeah, man, so all that really was just, it was a pivotal moment, you know. The first Mint Condition gig, I have to say. So y'all been to the Mall of America?
Yes.
So
I rode a roller coaster at the Mall of America.
Okay.
I was in a mall.
There was a place called the Carlton Celebrity Room, and that was our first gig, first show, and that's where the mall is right now.
Yeah.
And so
the wings are fire at
the mall.
Yeah. Where was the spot?
At Hooters.
Oh.
The wings was fire, bro. I just remembered.
He told you about the name of the spot.
No. Yeah,
Hooters. That's where I was.
I get that. The shrimp is nice there.
The shrimp.
Yeah, the buffalo shrimp is
nice. I know you though.
Buffalo shrimp is
I've
nice.
Had those. Hooters in Virginia. But yeah, let's keep going.
It's really nice. But yeah, so that's where the mall sits now. That was the first... That was my 1986. That was my first singing show with Mint, and that was Mint's first outing.
Were you guys called Mint Condition?
Yeah, Mint Condition. Yeah,
from the rip.
Yeah, from the rip. Yeah, we put the names in there, and you know, trying to figure out what we wanted. You know,
and the group was created in high school first.
Yeah, so it had a couple different iterations, but we say in 1989 was really the core. We really got it going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then the guy, Kenny, the drummer, he was in, there's another cat from Milwaukee who played bass. And who am I forgetting? Don't kill me now. It's been a minute. And of course, Roger Troutman's son, Roger Lynch. He was 13 when I met him. Amazing.
Oh, wow. Wait, y'all had Roger Troutman's son in the group?
Yeah, Roger Lynch. Yeah, rest in peace. He's passed on. But yeah, he was... Amazing talent. So he went off to do some stuff with his father at some point. So we had lost him.
Mm-hmm.
And the two gentlemen coming behind him, you know, Kenny, something happened to Kenny too. So we lost the drummer, you know, he went off and did whatever. And Kerry Lewis and Jeff Allen were the next one. They were younger than us, about a year or two. And I was like, why don't we just get them? You know, and just Kerry doing some amazing stuff in the studio.
And it's like, all coming through the school.
All coming through that same, St. Paul Central.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of talent there, a lot of people doing an amazing thing. So that's what we call the core of Mint Condition as we know it, mm-hmm. as the world knows it. And yeah, that was the first.
How did you feel for your first time singing lead in front of how many people? 200-300 people?
Well, the first time, that first show
mm-hmm.
was, that was probably... 1,800 people.
Oh, shit. Oh, you jumped right into the
first
fire.
Show.
It was whatever. Yeah, it was a big room.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a big room. I think that we only played like maybe 10, 15 minutes, like three songs. It was a blur. You know, I think I was so hyped And there's footage of it. It's my curl and everything. I was. I was Bree too. I had the asymmetrical cutting back and the whole thing. Yeah. All right, our outfits was crazy. I mean, we was real breed. So we had.
Oh, I need the footage.
It's
Jacob.
It's side.
Find the breed. I'm putting footage. Myself out there.
But it is. But yeah, I mean, it's how we all got here. So It's our outfit. It looked like something from Star Trek. Black and gold had like these fringes cut. One looked like it was this faux leather. The other side was just net.
Net.
For some reason, I don't know.
Like
some
the
of us,
shirts that Jamaicans be wearing?
Yeah, just net. One whole leg was net. The other one was just...
A net leg.
And
net
for some leg. Reason, some of us was like, yeah, let's just go all the way, man. No draws.
No. That's not where I thought this was going.
No, it was like, I'm just saying.
Might as well rock
we
out.
We went
like
rock
a
out.
Cold like, Minnesota night.
We had to rock out when I got out.
So I had no, I mean, it's like we're just going for it. Trying to find the edge, trying to find the ledge. That's great. Everybody at the time was, you know, Jesse Johnson. Remember the Jets?
Yes.
Had big, a lot of people, man. It was just like, you know, I just remember we started with our...
It was just
backs
a thing.
To the audience.
It was just a thing out there in Minnesota. It was just like, how far can we push it?
How far? Well, I mean, if you think back to, this was happening everywhere. Everybody had like the sensible.
Y'all was at another level.
It was on another level because for sure.
Y'all were the epicenter.
Prince had the
I mean, the chaps on, man. Like y'all took it there.
At a certain point, Prince just took his clothes off. He just said, y'all want to go see how far I go?
Right.
Bring the horse. I'm sure you have far ago.
So was there pressure in a sense in Minnesota? Like this is what we own. Like I'm from Minnesota. It's like if you was from California in the 80s, you had a jerry curl.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Just is what it is. Yeah.
Dark sure. shades and a Raiders jacket.
My whole family. Yes. Everybody had to have
that.
Curl.
I remember. That.
You know what I mean? Like so, that's what I'm saying by that. Yeah. Like with being from Minnesota, it's just like well, because you even said it. Mm-hmm. In the first performances, it's like, are we even doing enough?
Hmm. Right, yeah.
Because they pushing the limits out here.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But that was more, when I said I felt like we weren't doing enough, it just seemed like what we were doing, the applause didn't match. You know, it was like, we felt like we
were y'all didn't have no shock value yet.
Yeah. I think that, that's what it was probably. I'm like, we need something else.
So one of the homies said the net pants.
I don't even know how, it would be, we were just going there. And at the time, too, so the person who made, if you look at the Rude Boy, how Prince had it, it was one of the outfits that he had on, was it the Controversy album? There was a lady who actually made his clothes. She used to actually manage us. So she sold those up. And that was, that's Andre Anderson, Andre Simone's sister, you know, Sylvia. And shout out Sylvia. And so it was, we were going there, man.
We need to get her on the podcast.
Show us
the blueprints.
So she made Prince's clothes and managed mint condition.
Yeah. Wow.
You are a legend.
Goat.
Yeah, she was something else. Just amazing. So that was a moment. And looking back at that footage, and I'm like, oh. What was we on?
You was on what you needed to be on at the time.
Yeah, it was.
But you guys aren't signed to Jam and Lewis yet.
No. So check it out. They were in the audience.
At that first show.
They were there. So now
I Jam and Lewis in the audience.
That's right. I mean, this you're talking about who's who in Minneapolis, the whole thing. And mind you, at that time, Minneapolis was so hot, like people were coming from everywhere. You know, to be in Minneapolis, people from L.A., New York, Chicago, they were coming. And I'm like, wow, this is crazy, man. So, yeah, they're there. And I remember Sylvia, our manager at the time, had asked Terry, well, what do you think? You know, I always tease Terry about it. And I was like, he was like, well, they need work. I was like, okay, yeah. We thought we was... I don't know what we thought. It was like I said, it was a blur to me. It was just like, I was just so hyped. And it was like, it was just, let's just go out here and do it. And that was it. You know, just leave it alone. Those notes is gone. Can't do anything. Don't think about, oh, I should have did this. You know, that was it. So, yeah, it was something, man. So the footage is out there.
No, don't worry. We're going
to find it. It ain't hard to find.
So how do you get from
Yeah. How do you get from they need work to we should sign them?
So from there, there are a few things that happen. I was always very active playing different bands. And one time, I was maybe in 8-9 different bands at one time. Playing.
Yeah.
You know, and playing drums, that kind of thing. And we're trying to put together demos and that kind of thing. It was interrupted in, I would say, 1988. I had gotten a call from a friend to do this tour with, I was playing for this guy named George Pettis. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be opening for Whitney. And it was an expansive, just a huge tour in Europe, Moment of Truth tour. And so that took me out for about, I don't know, 3-4 months, whatever it was. And that was an amazing experience, just to get to really see on that level.
Yeah.
See the world, yeah.
To see, not only the world, but just to watch her.
Okay.
To watch the musicians.
Mm-hmm. You see, what year is it?
This was like 87, 88.
Whitney Houston, 87, 88?
Yeah.
She was all the way up.
How will I know? Yeah, it was the Whitney that we know and love and all of that. And it was amazing. You know, still thinking about it now. Mm-hmm. I have some vivid memories of, you know, us and at the end of the tour singing with her, that kind of just, you know, jam session kind of thing. And so many people that I met, you know, some people I see on TV that are executives now. I'm like, wow, people move in this industry. I'm like, it's amazing to see that. But that was a great experience for me, and just to see how it's done, you know, how they're moving, how the business and back, because I was always very aware and keen on that. It's like, what are they doing? Okay. After you get off stage, what do you do? How do they, you know what I mean? That kind of thing. So it was just really, really great time. So there was that comeback to Minneapolis, St. Paul, and we start putting it together. We put together a demo of 4 songs. Pretty Brown Eyes was one of them. And
that was one of the songs.
That was one of the songs. Yeah. Actually, all 4 songs were on the first album. But the funny thing is, like, a lot of executives, we took them to MCA, we took them to, you know, a lot of different labels. And matter of fact, we came out here in, I need to back up. This was before The Core That You Know. So with Kenny Young and, you know, Roger Lynch, I should say. We actually came out here before, it was 86, so the year after graduating, in search of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And we had these songs, and they're like, man, this is good stuff, man. But everybody would ask us, well, why are you here? And we're like, what do you mean? Everything's happening back in Minneapolis, you know, because it was like, wow, but this is LA, so, you know? And you know, you probably need to go back home. And, you know, it's like, wow, so that was kind of crazy. So we stayed out here. We were in Altadena, you know, staying with a friend of a friend, and got my wallet stolen and everything. We just like had to, this is a mess. And so I had to mention that just because that trip here, we were knocking on A&M's doors.
Mm-hmm.
Actually saw Jam and Lewis, out in West, what's it called? West is a place by UCLA called
Westwood.
Westwood. It is Westwood. Okay, And it was kind of, you know how you see somebody in a different place and you're like, I know you. Yeah, so he knew, we say, hey, Jam, blah, blah, blah. You know, we're out here trying to start your deal. It's like, okay, yeah, cool. It was just kind of like the little brush off thing. But, you know, he meant well, but he was just like, man. And then we got home, he was like, we seen him again. He was like, I knew y'all. I was like, I'm sorry, you just were out of place. It just didn't, you know, didn't put it together. So, yeah, we were knocking on A&M's doors, seeing Jam and them out here. And then, so fast forward again, back to creating the demo, And we had those 4 songs. And everybody was like, well, you know, we don't hear a single, we don't hear it. That kind of thing. So we started sending
out. Pretty Brown was on there.
Yeah. And at that, the demo is still, for me, still better than the actual album. It's like, the demo was like 8 minutes long. We were all the way. It was just like really, really spiritual. I remember having the lights off in the little rehearsal space, and it was just, it was a thing. And so we, those 4 songs were on there, man. And we decided to put together like a little package. And then we invited people. We invited Prince up, somebody from MCA, Jam and Lewis. And we played at First Avenue. It's a, you know, the club made famous by Purple Rain Prince. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so we did that, and we used to start the song, start the show off with Pretty Brown Eyes, because it was just one of those things that capture your attention.
You're like, yeah.
Gang, gang.
What, you know,
it's a call out. I almost scare you. You know what I mean?
Call out.
Yeah. And
like a parent concerned about the child. Who did that?
Right. Right. Yeah. And then it started off, and that was it. So we did it. It was a showcase. Didn't really
who was
get
playing
paid.
The drums then?
That was. Oh, so that was a gentleman by the name of Michael Bland.
Oh,
Prince drummer.
I know him.
Yeah. So he was in. He was actually supposed to be a part of the group, but, you know, Prince had asked him at the same time, so he went to go do the new Power Generation with Prince.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
There's so many things that, you know, some stories.
Who wrote Pretty Brown Eyes?
So that was, we were all in a rehearsal session. So Lawrence, Jeffrey, and myself. Yeah. I started humming, nah, 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 and just one of those things, just kind of, the lyrics comedy was really simple. And, you know, just kind of as we kept playing it, started adding parts and making it more dynamic. So by the time we got to the studio, it was it was almost like you're bringing the stage to the studio.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, instead of a lot of times you record music, you know,
and trying to figure out how to get it on
get
stage.
It to stage. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I think with recording, that is a more honest way from, in the essence, that's what you're trying to capture a moment, trying to capture a performance. That's mm-hmm. where recordings came from, I think. You mm-hmm. know, capturing somebody live.
Right.
You know, and now we do it in a more contrived way. We try to perfect a great moment over and over again. Gotcha. You know what I mean?
As my grandfather would say, ass backwards.
Pretty much. So it's cool. But that, I mean, that's what we do now. So, I mean, that's what we captured. And I think that's, even when we actually went in and did it in the studio, it still captured. There was something with that about that song,
mm-hmm.
about the vibration of it, the notes, the chords, just the emotion of it. And just it transcended. You know, it was definitely much bigger than us. So. The effect that it still has impact, so I'm really thankful for that. You know,
an amazing impact.
Yeah, man.
So, every night.
Wow. Yeah, that's.
I mean, it don't matter where you at. When that record comes on, you stop.
Mm.
If it comes on while you're listening to the radio, you do not change. You turn up.
You turn up.
It's one of those. It's.
It's crazy because somebody's like, "How do you feel when you?" That's like, you know, I wish I knew. It's gonna sound weird. What I sounded like. I hear me sometimes, you know, I can't explain it. I wish I knew what people hear. Because I don't.
Well, you should probably look on the internet and see them trying to sing it. You see them trying to sing it? That's what they hear. But it ain't you.
I hear this, like, I wish I knew what they were hearing when they hear the song. You know,
Pretty Brown Eyes challenge coming soon. I'll take care of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You will see.
Yeah. And I didn't mean to throw you off from where you know you were talking about the showcase.
Yeah.
I got to hear the full story of how that you got Prince in the house.
Yes. Well, he brought a representative out. So he said, bring the tape back. I'd rather see them than hear him, because, you know, he's definitely about visual. And I remember at the end of the performance, I was walking to my car. Across the street, I see Jam and Lewis. And they were like, "Hey, Stoke." I'm like, "Hey," I said, "Great job. We'll talk next week." I was like, I can't even think anything of it, because at that time, it was like, you know, people say stuff, and, you know, mm-hmm. I'm just glad that they came out, you know. And about a week or two later, we're in Flight Time Studio in the conference room, like, you know, what do y'all want to do? It's like, we want to make records, and, you know, we'd like to produce at least half the albums. And they're like, "Well, you guys can do the whole damn thing if you want." And we were like, "What? Word? Okay, yeah." But I'm sure they knew what it was coming from a band, being in a band.
Yeah, yeah.
Want to express yourself. They're like, "We get it. We got you." And that was the beginning of the whole.
Were there other offers from that night, or were they the only offer?
Prince, he thought, he's like, they were really good, but there wasn't, you know, he had so much going on at the time, you know, I think. So we didn't really hear anything back. MCA, I think, was more, you know, they were like, well, there were so many groups like that at the time, that kind of Minneapolis kind of vibe.
Who,
you know?
Though?
Well, I could tell that there's like, oh man, there were so many people who had that.
Not out.
If you look, think about the 80s, from my perspective at least, it was like when you heard, I was listening to Face talk about the influence, mm-hmm. the Minneapolis thing, you know, and being breathed and that kind of, you know, mm-hmm. and just there was a sound, you know, the Oberheim DMX drum machine, the keyboard stabs, that kind, you know, all these, that was a moment. And I think Minneapolis had, in my opinion, a lot to do with that. Just how
I think you guys, you know what I mean? I think as it pertains to the area, mm-hmm. it was absolutely more so an influx of it. Mm-hmm. But as it pertained to the industry, mm-hmm. from outside looking in, mm-hmm. there was no mint condition.
I had never seen anything like mint condition.
Mm-hmm. There was no mint condition.
You know, I feel like I've seen a lot in this music business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I had never seen a mint condition, me personally.
At all.
It's interesting.
It's funny. I mean, still, I feel like y'all are 101.
Yeah.
To this day.
I think so. It's when we were coming in, you got to remember it was changing because people were trying to be more cost effective. So bands were on the way out.
Yeah.
So we're the oddball out. So Jodeci, Boyz II Men, mm-hmm. all the, you know, it was a moment because I remember all these radio stations we would go to, their thing was, can we sing for you? Can we sing for you? And it was that was the thing. Because I think it was, who was it? Michael Bivins was telling the story of how a group of somebody was like, well, how did you got put on where they sang for you? That kind of thing. So everybody started doing that, you know? But we were like, okay, we're a band. They have this whole thing, you know?
Yeah.
So we kind of got caught up in that until we started distancing ourselves away from, you know, the rest of the pack. They're like, oh, you guys are actually singing, but your actual band, you're self-contained, you know? But that's what we saw, you know, growing up. That's what we wanted to be. You
seen, how many members?
Ohio Players, you know, Earth, Wind, et cetera, you
how
know?
Many members were in their group?
Six.
So how does the business of that work?
Well, the best way to me and for all of us, because we've seen, you know, the great bands, the thing that broke those bands up was economics, of course. Mm-hmm. We've seen the great horn bands go from 10 to 8 to 5 to mm-hmm. 3. And at some point, you know, just time moves on and it's just you can't compete with that, the economics of life and, you know, the things that you need. And if shit ain't hitting, you know, it's
when the conversations get fun.
So the best way to do that evenly? Is to split it. Yeah. And I'm like, you know what? It'll work itself out. And I mean, we just really committed. And at that time, we were really artists.
Right.
You know what I mean? For art's sake, sure. we just wanted to.
Yeah.
And everything will take care of itself. We just really cared about the music.
During the summer, when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with friends and family. Or on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected, whether you're at home or on the go. So you can stay connected to your loved ones and to your favorite things. Whether you're sharing pics from the best rooftops, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show, episode after episode after episode. So connect at home or on the move with AT&T 5G and home internet, and create memories and more all summer long. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
If you're looking for the most epic place on Earth,
let's start at the base of a massive waterfall.
Then trek through the thick jungle.
Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there,
keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo!
Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again!
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five!
High Five!
Casino!
Casino!
Win at HighFiveCasino.com!
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
Get into your mind.
Oh,
get
boy.
Into the Stokely.
Oh, Lord.
Your top five.
Oh, Lord.
Don't do it. Top five.
Don't do it. You got to do
top
it.
Top five.
Oh. Don't do it to
your
me.
Top five. Please. Who is your top five?
Oh.
Who is?
Don't make me do it.
Who is your top five?
Don't make me do it. Don't make me do it.
Y'all just
dead or alive.
Dead or alive.
Top five R&B singers, dead or alive.
Yeah. Y'all, you know y'all the new meme of the two R&B niggas trying to out-sing each other. Yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about too, where they got like this. The comedian did that. Y'all that
That's
now.
Great.
Y'all that now.
Oh, man. Oh, Lord. This is owing people's...
Come on, man.
You know
it's yours,
people.
Brother.
It's yours. Right. Your
it's yours.
Yep. This is in the moment right now, just because whoever I can't think of, there's no, yeah. Gerald LaVert.
Ooh, come on, Gerald.
Gerald LaVert is definitely in.
Gerald LaVert.
Don't think of, you ever think, I've spent some time, and he's just, yeah.
He's a monster.
The teddy bear.
You know, the teddy bear. He's a monster.
Roll around on the ground, but he can, and why I say that too, just because I've seen him perform so much, and he... What it's like, he's always consistent.
Yeah.
You know, I was.
I've never seen him miss.
No. And I remember this one time backstage, he was doing something. We had a show together or something. He was like, oh man, I'm tired, man. Let me go on here, roll around on the ground. And he just hit it. I was like, oh wow. That's, yeah. I mean, it was, yeah. So yeah, Gerald, you got to put Stevie in there.
Yeah.
You know, he did so much. Luther's another one.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Tone, placement, articulation. I mean, just
classic vocal.
Classic vocal. Yeah. You know,
tuxedo vocal.
I'm just gonna say, I like the Carpenters.
Huh.
They're like pop R&B. You know, it was. Yeah. If that's kind of like maybe a side, a subtitle.
It's like a garnish.
Yeah, look.
Like a nice
little garnish.
Yeah.
Did you call them cilantro?
Cilantro tastes good.
A lot of people don't like cilantro. Yes. But yeah, if you listen to them, I mean, what they do.
There's pieces in there that are like,
oh man.
Just great. You're like, oh, gotcha. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Karen Carpenter, drummer too. You know, she plays drums.
I didn't know that.
Yes. Yeah, there's some old footage out. Who else? So, how do you even, Young Michael?
Ooh.
I mean, I love. Thriller.
No.
You get what I'm saying.
You ain't saying nothing wrong.
Okay. You know, yeah.
You ain't saying nothing wrong.
But that was what we grew up on. That was the influence. That was just so.
How young was Michael when he sang?
Right, right. Whose soul was that?
Hey, who do that? Hey, who does? He's too young to do that note like that.
Like what? Yeah. Do you? What you been through?
He thought he pouting with his note. He don't know about pouting. Hey, who are you? Who no, told
all
you
that
this?
Attitude? Like what?
Get his attitude from boy. Yeah. Like you've been in a relationship before.
And it wasn't no Pro Tools.
It wasn't no Pro Tools.
Hmm? Come on, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's tough right now. With technology.
I feel like he dumbed it down as he got older.
He
made it he made it fully digestible.
Well, no. Yeah. And yeah, I want to go a step further. He abandoned being a singer to become a stylist. To create a style of singing. Because had he just been a singer, he'd been a great singer, but everybody's a singer. There are very few people who are stylists who actually create something so unique that if anybody else does it, it's like, you trying to be like Michael Jackson. You doing that, Michael Jackson. Like, there's no way.
You're really good at this.
Huh?
Yeah, right.
You were from young to old Mike too, like
right. Hey. And they're pretty flawless.
Do nice shit.
Tune into the R&B Money podcast. Man. I do nice shit sometimes. I can't count worth a damn.
You can count enough. You know what I
mean? You're absolutely right though. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And it was the genius in him to do that. Like to as a purist completely abandoned being one of the best singers out.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, arguably, Michael Jackson and Stevie, one of the best kid singers of all time.
Are you kidding me?
Right.
Yeah. And a sprinkle of Tevin Campbell.
And Jasmine Sullivan. Mm. Jasmine Sullivan was 14 singing like that, so I can't.
Campbell, she was already grown.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, Tevin. Yeah. He's another one. Yeah.
Come on now.
He's another one.
Yeah. That's a different league that they all are in.
For sure. That kids' league was strong.
They all stayed true to their vocal. Mike, he veered off into another.
I mean, he's an alien, though. I mean, you have to figure. I mean, just his upbringing, just the time that he was born, everything. There's nobody like that ever.
I just want to know why. I wish. I pray because that is like the day we were supposed to go see him.
Mm.
That's when all this and he had invited Jamie to go out there. We were rehearsing with Jamie. We were supposed to go out there, and I was like, I hope I get to ask him why, why would she tell me, girl, and be
across the scene. Right.
Yeah.
So much passion in that, man,
and percussion.
Very much. He was
so much
was
percussion.
Yeah. Very much
in that. Why would you do that? Because I remember Genuine was singing. We were doing TGT, and Harvey was in there. And he was like, yeah, just ad lib. And Genuine was going, he's saying, da, da, ah, yeah, ah, yeah. And Jah Harvey was like, what is that? And so he stopped. He's like, man, like, what makes you do that? And Genuine didn't get it. He's like, man, that's just what I say, man. What you saying? Like, he thought he was this. I said, no. I said, gee, he's like enamored by the fact that you have your own ad lib. Nobody else. He's like Harvey was like, what made you do that? What made you create that? Like, I love that. And I was like, he's our stylist. I was like, that's why we need. That's why I was like, when I was in with Harvey and we were formulating the background structure, I said, Genuine has to lead because he's our stylist in the group. He's the guy that's going to make us recognizable.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you're a stylist.
Yeah. You got to have what they call a sonic icon. Sonic icons. Yeah.
Sonic icon. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
It's a bar.
Yeah. Oh,
I just stole that.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is Stokely's sonic icon. Ooh, that's an award.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That's an award.
Yeah.
You will receive first and then you give to the
man. Give it to the
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Man. I gotta say too, as far as Beyonce, I love all the stuff she's done. Something, the way her voice is now, after the kids, because you know when the voice
after Lemonade,
Beyonce got different.
Yeah. Man, yeah. The tone of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just so much.
It's more seasoned.
It's more seasoned.
And I think, you know, she's a pristine and curated artist, you know what I mean? And so with a lot of big artists, it's like things are protected and things are like, you know, let's just, you know, let's keep it here. You know what I'm saying? It's very, and I think that Lemonade album, she let us in.
Yeah, absolutely.
And let her hair down.
That's
right.
Yeah. You could feel that.
You could feel it.
All the other stuff was great too. It was amazing. Because we knew when she was younger, like, I remember hanging out with, I don't know where we were. Prince, matter of fact, he was like, she was still on the come up, kind of like, we were talking about something. And I just remember him say, yeah, did you hear that, Beyonce? I remember that. Just that. Just so like you that. Know. Yeah, that was going to be something you special. you know what I mean? But he's like, wait a minute, that Beyonce.
And I think that, people, you know? I have this argument all the time. Like, I'm like, you guys don't know the half of what Beyonce is capable of.
I get that.
She got way more in her bag.
Oh.
You don't
know. You know it. You know it. You know
of what she's you know. Capable of. Yeah, she because we know the instrument, we can hear
that's
her.
Right. That's right.
It's built it correctly.
Yeah. That's right. That's
because right. if she really let loose, when she did that at a James.
Come on.
I said, y'all, now you're going to get a glimpse, just a taste. Yeah. Mm. What this one, okay, here we go.
I don't know no songs, man. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You got the gang of them, too. So you got some songs.
You got your history.
Al Green, Still in Love.
Mm. Hey. Okay, quick.
Quick.
Because that was, you know, vocally that, and my stuff will be kind of all over the place. Tisk of the Task at Ella Fitzgerald.
Wow.
Just because, yeah. He's one of my favorite. House Not Home, Luther.
Mm. Yeah.
Just, we know what that does.
Mm. Come on now.
For me, I do like Prince's Beautiful Ones.
Mm-hmm.
That's just something, the emotion in that. Yeah. This just took me somewhere. Mm-hmm. Still. Freddie Brown Eyes, man.
I was waiting.
Yeah!
I was waiting.
Even, you know, weird. Even I'll though I sang it.
I'll take it.
It's not.
Even though I sang it.
So listen, what?
Listen, you know what I mean?
Listen, I'm gonna invite you.
Just saying.
I'm gonna invite you to a doo-wop. Okay?
Yeah, you gotta tell me about the doo-wop.
Tell me about I'm gonna invite you to a doo-wop. Mike Gardner, a fly guy. Go around the country.
Mm.
And do some of the craziest R&B parties.
Oh, wow. R&B all night.
R&B all night for 5 hours.
Whoa.
And you will see.
What that record does. Yep.
Wall to wall.
Every time.
Every time.
Wow.
It don't miss.
How it come in, Tank? How the song come in?
Bang, bang! Who's playing that? What are y'all doing down there?
Oh, Lord. Oh, my God.
You better go to bed. Shut up.
What we got next?
We're going to do R&B Voltron. Okay, so I need to know who you're going to get the vocal from, who you're going to get the performance style from, who you're going to get the styling from, and who you're going to get the passion of the artist from. So let's start with the vocal. Whose vocal are you snatching to make this?
Y'all are rough.
Yeah, yeah.
Damn.
Trenches.
I love it. This is R&B money.
Okay.
R&B money, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so the vocal.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first one?
First one.
God dang, man. I can't do a hybrid because, you know, oh, man. Okay.
You Stokely, man. We let you, you know, we.
You can live.
If you want to do a hybrid of a vocal.
If you want to blend.
You Stokely, brother. Like, we not arguing with you about no singing.
I'm going to, I'll just say, just to, so I can cover all of it. Stevie Vandross.
Stevie Vandross.
That's my first.
That's about to be some new rapper. Be like, who? You ain't heard Stevie Vandross?
Stevie Vandross. You know, nigga with the perm.
Why you got a perm?
I just feel like your dad makes me feel like you got a perm.
Stevie Vandross.
He's iced up, grilled, and a perm.
I'm signing him.
He's like Big Worm with a record.
Big Worm.
His album, debut album, Principalities.
Okay.
Stevie Van
Principalities.
Great.
So that's the vocal. Yeah, it's
that's
the hybrid, you know. Okay. I think you get the tone, you get all the other stuff and the musicality. Yeah.
Who are you getting the the performance style from?
Prince Davis. Prince and Sammy Davis.
Mm.
He's really making a hybrid Voltron.
That's
think
great.
About it, because you talk about performance.
Mm-hmm.
You know what Prince did? He's great. Sammy Davis is the template. He's the blueprint.
For everyone.
Trumpet, drums, vibes, piano, comedian, dancing.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
What more? Come on.
Yeah, he's the first Jamie Foxx.
Styling. That show drip.
Who got that dashiki on, man? You told us where you came from.
Like, bro, you know,
Kamasi Washington be killing it with the dashiki.
Yeah.
You be coming, I'm just going to go with a classic. And again, I got to go with the...
You're from Minnesota.
Huh?
You're from Minnesota. I'm expecting something wild.
I mean, the obvious answer. No. Somebody gonna say Prince or something. I mean, that's like, there are parts of that I do like. Some stuff I probably wouldn't fuck with, but you know, I don't know what person that would be. I guess he would be in some ways, yeah. But then I have the just classic side, like a Sammy Davis as well. I do like that.
Mm-hmm.
Suits, just well tailored.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You talk about R&B. You talk about like how James Brown is like, they had a certain way, certain air about them.
Yeah.
You know, suited up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll say James Brown, because I think he embodied a lot of that, a lot of the pride.
He mixed all of that.
He mixed all of it.
Even what's things that Prince
true. Yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah. So JB.
From. Yeah. 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 JB, no, James Brown was, yeah, he was out there with it.
Yeah, right. For sure.
Who are you getting the passion from? Soul.
I got to go back to Mike again. When I think about intention and passion and just everything we talked about, this like feeling it. You can see it in his face.
Intense.
Oh, yeah.
Intense.
That. Yeah. You know what I mean?
He just fired a nigga while he was singing with ad-libs.
Yeah, you know?
I said he fired a nigga while he was singing with ad-libs. What are you going to do? And what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Like, you fired.
Like,
damn.
It's
time to go.
Oh, Lord.
That was great.
Man, I wish EDD would have been out back then. He sang to that nigga. You'll be EDD.
Hey, that was great.
We got a very important segment of the show.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Come on. Warm up the piano, man. Uh-oh.
I ain't saying no names.
So it's called I Ain't Saying No Names.
Yeah. Where you been? Who you with? What you did? And what you ain't? I ain't saying no names.
So in this segment, as you've seen on this show, because you watched the show.
Yes.
You tell us a story, funny or fucked up. About something that happened to you, you know, during your time in this business.
Not.
Only thing. Ain't no names.
Ain't no names.
Everything else, though. I mean, listen, you can identify things in people.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't say their names.
Mm-hmm.
They must remain nameless.
Mm-hmm.
Story, funny or fucked up, or funny and fucked up.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Some stuff is funny to me. I have a weird sense of humor.
And, we all do.
Announce it.
It may not be funny to somebody else, but in the moment to me. Yeah, or
this is the legend.
Mm.
The legend. Mm. Stokely, mint condition, Minnesota zone.
Minnesota zone.
Oh, Lord.
I ain't saying no name.
Oh man, I wasn't prepared for it. And I watched the show, and I shouldn't have known this was coming. I should have known this was coming. I would have had something together. For, I'm trying to think of something dynamic
Take your time. Because I've had so many great.
The cameras are digital.
Y'all have had some great moments.
The cameras are digital.
Then all right, yeah. And then y'all will be like, his segment was wacky shit.
Oh, they going to be on you. If you don't give us something.
I know. That's what I know.
All that talent.
That's what I know. They ain't give us nothing.
We know Prince stole one of his girlfriends.
Oh, man. Tried.
I ain't saying no name. I ain't saying no name.
I don't know nothing to. This ain't really.
You didn't been on tours.
This ain't really. I remember being. You know how you get to it. There's still this competitiveness with, you know, certain people, especially if you don't know them. And, you know, I think folks, there's an air about them if they don't know you.
Yeah.
You know, or they think they haven't, I would have an air or something like that. And this gentleman we were on tour with, or had a couple shows with, and Mint days. And we just got the vibe that it was just real, they just being real kind of fucked up, you know, like not giving their own, doing the sound check and whatnot. And we're just waiting. And it was like a theater. I'm just waiting, you know, kind of thing. And the thing about us is like, the more fucked up you treat us, you'd be like, okay, that's one, that's two. We just, you know, we just counting it up like, okay, just, oh, this is good. This is good. And so, you could see that this dude was just, he's seen us out there, you know, waiting for the sound check, right? And he was pretty much dumb, just waiting, just sitting around talking, sitting down. And we'd start up some music. It's like, well, who's next? Who's coming up? And he knew we're sitting right there in front of him. And like, yeah, I don't know, man. Let me do another song. It's like, really? Okay. Door's about to open, you know, that kind of thing. And but if at some point he's just like, oh, whatever, okay, just get the other band up. Now, we'd had some hits out at this point. So put the other band up. We just took that, like, okay.
Yeah. He sent all this over to Mike.
Over to Mike. Yeah. Wow. So it was amplified.
Oh, yeah.
And it was amplified. But to us, we were like, okay. You know, and at that point, we were so rehearsed. We would rehearse everything. We would rehearse, like, sometimes we were going to do that sound check. And we were just tight as a drum. I would do one little thing. We just like, it would stop. Or we just, you know, dynamics would go up and down, all kind of stuff. And so we did something like that, that we'd rehearsed. And then that pretty much changed the energy in the room, you know. And I was like, I thought that was interesting. Because after that, all that shit came off. All that artificial posturing.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
You know, all that's like, you know. So it was fucked up to me, but it's, you know, you may not think, but it was, I remember that, like, but again, no names. Some of the Mint fellas probably know, I'm sure.
Yeah, sure, because sometimes you gotta, you gotta show, improve.
Yes.
Like, you think,
you think shit's sweet.
You don't know.
Right, yeah.
Somebody
yeah.
didn't tell you.
And that's kind of where I was then, because like, we were younger and hungry, just like, okay. And had that, you know.
Killers, too. That, y'all was,
you know, we're going for the edge, you know. You know, we had the net shit on, man.
I was hoping that y'all burnt those.
Was that?
I said, I was hoping that y'all burnt those.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Always was way after, yeah, I'm just saying. But we had that mentality, too. Like, okay, we ain't going for the edge like that no more. But putting it inside the music. And so, you know, anybody who's coming like that, just, okay, all right.
I've been there. And you it's
know,
just.
You know.
It's just like, okay, listen, you got. Your song is hotter than mine right now.
Yeah, it's okay.
But don't think that I'm not him.
Right, right. And we didn't care about, like, record. We could not have anything. My heart thing was like, we're just going to get you off of what we do. Performance. That's it.
That's it.
You can not know who I am. And I still try to perform like that to this day. It's like, even if you don't know, it's like, you know, I don't care if it's 5 people, 10 people, you know, 50 people. You got to get, they came here, they paid their money.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the kind of, you know, thing you got to have, you know, going forward.
I call it, you're going to remember the night you played the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to remember.
I like that. Mm-hmm.
I don't care what's going on.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the other part too about being a musician and being in a band. Mm. It's just too many cheat codes.
It's too many cheat codes.
Like niggas gotta leave y'all alone.
Leave them alone.
So y'all in the band that be kicking niggas ass, but then y'all got the singer.
That's in
the band.
It's just not cool. That
y'all can't out sing.
It's not cool.
No.
It's not cool.
Nah, leave them alone.
It's not cool. Stokely, my brother. Man, we gotta say thank you, bro.
Man.
And we gotta say thank you, not just in this moment, man, but for all the work that you've put in.
Yep.
Thank you. You have been absolutely an inspiration. Mm. You have been study material.
Wow.
To all of us becoming who we are. You know what I mean? And being able to take advantage of opportunities and to be in this business, man, as long as we have, bro. Yeah. I'm telling you, like you've helped us do that.
Oh, thank you.
You know what I'm saying? And every time I've met you, every time I've been able to shake your hand and share energy with you, share space with you, it's always been amazing energy. And, you know, I learned that from Ginuwine and it continues through guys like you that continues to remind me that that is the right way to be.
Mm.
That is correct. And that's how we're going to keep doing it.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. This is amazing. I'm telling you, keep doing what you're doing, man. This is really more amazing than what y'all know. It's like you're going to start seeing residuals, not money, but I mean, it's bigger than money,
what
y'all are doing, man. So, and whatever I got, man, I'm giving to everybody out here, and just we going to keep shining. Y'all keep doing what you're doing. You inspire me. You know, I see you out on the road doing stuff, man, hear your records and just everything y'all are doing, man. It's, you know, it's, this is R&B money, baby.
Yeah. Hey! Yeah. Well, then on that note, I am Tank.
I'm Jay Valentine.
And this is the R&B Money Podcast, the authority on all things R&B. And in the building, we've had someone dear, special to our hearts, man. The amazing, the incomparable Stokely.
Sankofa.
Sankofa.
R&B Money.
R&B Money is a production of the Black Effect Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Don't forget to subscribe to and rate our show. And you can connect with us on social media at Jay Valentine and at The Real Tank. For the extended episode, subscribe to youtube.com/RMB Money.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
During the summer, when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with your friends. Or alone on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected, so you can enjoy all the summertime vibes. Whether you're sharing a pic from a rooftop, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show, episode after episode. So stay connected to your favorite people and your favorite things with AT&T 5G and home internet. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
The following is a high five moment from highfivecasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah.
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high five moment today? Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those, too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
Thank you.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.